First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 80 and on the TVs. There on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I am Peter Burns, much less talented musician than Mr. Jason Fitz, normally in this role, and I've got a newfound appreciation. After the 19 hours of show prep that I put in just to learn how to do First Take, Your Take, Jason Fitz, you, sir, are my hero. We got a lot of bills to pay, a lot of people to talk to as well. Dan Woken from USA Today is going to talk about college football. Is it going to be returning? If so, in the fall or in the spring? We'll also talk to Vincent Goodwill of Yahoo Sports about the NBA bubble and is it kind of collapsing at this point? Also, Mike Tenenbaum coming up as well. You can tweet me on Twitter, at Peter Burns, ESPN. And here's the question I brought up on Twitter. We're going to have some fun today because it was an unbelievable rabbit hole that I just randomly put out on my Twitter account. What's the most random sports stat that blows your mind? You guys have been great on Twitter, at Peter Burns ESPN. Hit me up there. As always, you can give us a call, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Before we start today's First Take, Your Take, let's get into some of the headlines. Nets GM Sean Marks said the organization committed to sending a group to Orlando for the NBA start in late July. Now, of course, this is because several different players have said, hey, yo, I'm not making the trip. DeAndre Jordan, of course, has just tested positive for it. Wilson Chandler opting out for family reasons. Nick Claxton had the shoulder surgery. So Sean Marks already starting to look at kind of what the roster is going to look like when these players do indeed get down to Orlando. Other big news today, Congress met with the college athletic leaders today to talk a little potential framework for name, image, and likeness for college athletes. This is huge because you've seen throughout the country a bevy of different states put out their own legislation, and college athletics is like, listen, we can't have 50 different states doing 50 different laws. Congress, can you help us out? They made their plea to Congress today. Congress went back and forth with them, trying to get a little bit more answers. We'll talk to Dan Woken about that coming up in a little bit. But Straight Talk Wireless does not play games. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month, saving up to 50% against the big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. All right, it's not just me, Peter Burns, here on First Take, Your Take. Of course, it is the stars of First Take, and what they led today's show with was important throughout all of NFL. When the season returns, all eyes, of course, will be down in Tampa Bay on Tom Brady, but now even more so up in Foxborough. The guys were talking about what should the expectations be for Cam Newton in 2020.
I think the expectation should be at least a trip to the divisional playoff game. I would be willing to go so far as to say it's possible that they'll end up in the AFC Championship game. I mean, I know that Buffalo has an elite defense and they're a legitimate threat in the AFC East, but my mentality, my mindset is that of this. If you're the New England Patriots, I expect you to win the AFC East. If you win the AFC East, the likelihood is that you'll be a top two seed in all likelihood because you got at least a four-game bye against Miami and the New York Jets. As far as I'm concerned, you'll probably be in line to battle for one of the top two records in the AFC. And as a result, you're just talking about the need to win one game at Foxborough. That's my mentality, and that's where I come up with an AFC championship game berth. Obviously, Baltimore and Kansas City are the two best teams in the AFC. We can't ignore Pittsburgh. I think they're going to be a threat this season. We can't ignore Houston. We can't ignore Indy with Phillip Rivers because of the pieces that they have around them. But in the end, I think because of being in the AFC East, that particular division, along with the fact that I anticipate that they'll only have to win one game at Foxborough in order to be in an AFC championship game, that's where I come to the AFC championship game being a reasonable conclusion with Cam Newton and the New England Patriots.
You got a lot of nerve. A lot of nerve. This is that same dude, Stephen A. Smith. This is Stephen B. Smith today. That's your B game, brother. Stephen A. Smith been talking about nonstop. Who did Brady have to throw to? Brady. Brady's still elite, but he didn't have anyone to throw to, yada, yada. Who's got to throw to now? What, do the Patriots suddenly have a revamped offensive weapons everywhere you look? Still no one to throw to, except also no Gronkowski, who is with the Bucs. So why is it that they should suddenly wind up deep in the playoffs? Why should this team wind up deep in the playoffs when the Buffalo Bills are the rising power? When all it was is Brady is bereft of weapons. Remember that, Stephen A.? It's ringing in my ears. I go to sleep at night. Bereft of weapons. That's all I hear is your voice echoing about. He's bereft of weapons. but now you got him deep in the playoffs. Tom Brady, who with the same New England team last year, offensive weapons, couldn't get the must-win game in Miami to get a bye, and then lost the first time he touched the ball in the playoffs. Excuses, excuses. Now they sign Cam Newton coming off injury. And because of coronavirus, we don't even know. Like, he hasn't even been able to work out for teams, so we really have some sense of where he is. Coming off injury. Hasn't been himself in 2-3 years now. But you have him making a deep run in the playoffs against this much-improved division. Don't forget, Sam Darnold is a year older, more experienced. You got Tua in Miami, and you got the Bills. No, don't try to raise the standards for Cam when you just lowered them for Tom Brady. Here's what Cam has to do. Cam has to, if he's healthy, have a good season, and the Patriots have to make the playoffs. Anything past that is gravy. I think there's going to be some gravy. Look, the reason it will look like the offensive weapons are better in New England this year is because Cam will make them better. Because you can't have the same number of defensive backs on the field with Cam playing quarterback as you can with Brady playing quarterback. Because with Bill Belichick as coach, he's not just going to be throwing the ball all the way down the field, thereby lowering his completion percentage. There'll be more short and intermediate passes to go with the deep threat. Cam Newton will have a very good bounce back season if healthy. The Patriots will make the playoffs, but that's all you can expect from him this season. Anything more than that is praiseworthy.
Man, you know what, Max, bro? Like, your argument ended up tying in really well, but you let your love of the cliff for Tom Brady and Stephen A. making excuses for him, you made that forget that you said, what, a year and a half ago until game 8 when Cam Newton was injured in Pittsburgh, that he was playing MVP caliber ball. And now you're saying, well, it's been 2 or 3 years since he was balling. No, he was balling in 18 under North Turner when they had that short passing game. He was getting the ball out of his hands to Christian McCaffrey. Well, that's what Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick loves to do with that stable of backs that they have. Also, Julian Edelman underneath, who was a guy who was nicked up last year. But I do agree with you on this. I think this is a playoff team, and whatever they get beyond that will be gravy. But they will get some land yap, because that's what we call it here in Louisiana. Because Cam Newton now adds a different diversity to this offense, right? Now it's not just about stopping White. It's not about stopping Burkhead. It's about not about stopping Michelle. It's about understanding playing the zone run scheme. Now getting Cam Newton out of the pocket where you can have double moves, where you can have second play opportunities, which you could not have with Tom Brady. And although the weapons have not changed, I've been saying since the beginning of the offseason or since Cam Newton was released that he needed to go to the New England Patriots, but more so, the New England Patriots needed him because they haven't improved on the outside. They needed someone that can add a different dimension to this offense, and Cam Newton can do that. The other thing that he can do is, one, being a Heisman Trophy winner. Two, being the number one overall pick, offensive rookie of the year, being an MVP. He has had the spotlight on him forever. He's had the spotlight on him since he touched the football at Auburn. It won't be a spotlight too big playing behind Tom Brady or replacing Tom Brady. Cam Newton is in a perfect place to revive his career. Now, we can get to how it happened and how it shouldn't have had to be the way it went down. But you also can't say, when we talk about Cam Newton and the injuries, if he's healthy and if he's okay, that because he hasn't been in the building. Because for Tua Tagovailoa, guess what? A video was good enough. For Tua Tagovailoa, watching him work out was good enough. All I've done offseason is seen Cam Newton work, seen Cam Newton hoop, seen Cam Newton pull sleds, seen Cam Newton throw with Mohamed Sanu, throw with Odell Beckham Jr. And if those videos are good enough for Tua Tagovailoa, who's been just as injured in a shorter amount of time to be drafted 5th overall, it's good enough for me to believe that Cam Newton is healthy. He will be the starter for the New England Patriots. They will make the playoffs, and he'll get more money at the end of this season.
That was Ryan Clark, Stephen A. Smith, and Max Kellerman talking about the expectations for Cam Newton this upcoming year with the New England Patriots. Peter Burns in here for First Take, Your Take. Remember, it ain't game day. You can still feast like it is. Meet Church's new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken, our fan favorite with new campfire flavor. Plus mashed potatoes and a bucket. Church's, bring in that down home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. All right. By the way, I love when we do lunch reads. When I haven't had any lunch, it just gets me upset. We're going to be joined by Mike Tannenbaum here momentarily. But some quick thoughts here on the Cam Newton deal. And when I saw it, it's beyond brilliant on so many different levels. And it's beyond exciting if you're an NFL fan, right? It's exciting if you're a Pats fan because, A, you get an MVP, a former MVP, 124 games started, 68 wins, three Pro Bowlers, and you got it for next to nothing, right? You got a lot of incentive in the contract, but it doesn't really cost you a whole heck of a lot. It's exciting for Josh McDaniels to run this offense for the Patriots. I mean, basically, McDaniels has been on cruise control with Tom Brady effectively running that offense for the Patriots the way he has for the last, what, decade. Now he has options at quarterback, and he has an option to change some things and show the brilliance that he wants to show, all right? Also exciting for Cam Newton, fresh start for him, finally healthy, fresh offense, and really a fresh outlook as well, too. You know, and I've seen people, what he gave to the Carolina Panthers was nothing short of fantastic, but everyone needs a little bit of a fresh start. We saw it with Peyton Manning whenever people said it doubted him and said, well, you're never going to be back the way that you were with the Indianapolis Colts. Guess what? He was. He was unbelievable with the Denver Broncos despite having, what, 40% of the arm because that motivation drove him. I think that will drive Cam Newton as well. But here's the one thing I want to get to, and before we get into our ESPN front office insider Mike Tannenbaum about it. I've seen a lot of people say, well, Jared Stidham's out. Cam Newton's the starter. Jared Stidham, or as you know, Belichick calls him, Stid, has no chance. Let me tell you, this actually is a great thing for Jared Stidham. A great thing for Jared Stidham that Cam Newton has signed. Because can you imagine Jared Stidham trying to take the reins after Tom Brady, right? Let's just say that, hey, that you are the heir apparent. The fact that Jared Stidham now can go into a room with a former NFL MVP, who I believe was humbled a little bit, and learn from a little bit more, and now compete. Because it's easier to compete when someone's pressing you every single day versus, hey, by the way, you're just the man. Now the expectation level, if he does start for the Patriots, is huge because then he can say, you know what? Guess what? I beat out Cam Newton. So I'm your guy. Joining us right now here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, insider for the NFL in our front office, Mike Tannenbaum, joining Peter Burns here on First Take, Your Take. Ultimately, Mike, when we look at what Cam Newton's expectations are, when you saw the signing, what was your first reaction?
Really, really smart. I like it from both sides. Here, just starting with, the New England side of it, he's a better football player than Jared Stidham. When he's healthy, he was the league MVP. He took a team to a Super Bowl. Think it makes a ton of sense, great value. And if I'm Cam, you know, the verb I'm using is I'm investing. You know, this reminds me so much of what Ryan Tannehill did a year ago, took a pay cut, goes to Tennessee, leads him to a championship game. And candidly, I have firsthand experience signing Vinny Testaverde in 1998. Bill Belichick was on that staff. Glenn Foley started the first two games, and then he came in and took us to the AFC Championship game and got richly rewarded.
When you look at this, it befuddles me that I can look at teams like the Bears, the Jaguars, even the Chargers at this point. At some point, why did they not take this gamble and let them fall right into what appears to be Belichick's plan?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but the risk reward on this deal is compelling. I just don't see the
Mike. Is that crazy though? You just say it, you almost sound baffled when I said it. Like at some point when you can get him for next to nothing, like as a front office guy, you're like how did this happen?
I don't know. I mean, I just believe in it philosophically. In my career, I like buying low and the opportunity to go high with somebody and. It's a really, really smart move, and I may think it makes New England, the favorite for the AFC East without question.
Without question, Mike Tannenbaum says here on First Take, Your Take. And before that, did you feel like that was the biggest gap, is that when going to Stidham, you felt like maybe the Bills would be the favorite in the AFC and not the Patriots?
No, because Josh Allen wasn't accurate in Wyoming, and Josh Allen wasn't accurate in Buffalo, and he struggles throwing the ball down the field. So I like Buffalo. I think they've done a lot of good things. But unless Josh Allen's accuracy increases, I just don't see Buffalo beating New England.
when you look at this, Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on First Take, your take overall in the AFC still ends up being Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens, but are you putting the Patriots as right there in that third contender spot at this point?
Yeah, I do. I think they're right in that discussion for sure. Last year they had a number one defense, and obviously, you know, they're very well coached, and I think Tennessee is not far behind, but I think it's Kansas City, Baltimore, you know, then New England, and after that, yeah, I like Tennessee.
On the other side, the one thing that we've talked about, and people cannot wait, A, just to see some sports, Mike, because we all want that right now instead of what we have had or not had over the last 6 months, but one of the kind of the races that we're looking at is between what the Patriots can do and then obviously what the Bucs can do with Tom Brady. Who ends up winning at the end of the day? I assume it's Patriots because you think they're that good, but how big of the drop-off is it for Brady to go to the Bucs now?
Well, I think Tom Brady is going to do well, but if you look at the quarterbacks they're competing against, I think Cam Newton has the easier chance to get to the playoffs because of his competition at the quarterback position. Whereas when you look at Tom Brady, he's going against Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, and I think an underrated Teddy Bridgewater. So while I expect Tom Brady to play well, I think their path is harder to the playoffs than that of New England.
Mike, we've talked so much about the NBA and the bubble and whether or not that they'll come back. Of course, you know, players kind of returning to their training camp and trying to get ready for to go into Orlando. We've seen a lot about that with college football, about players getting back to voluntary workouts. There hasn't been a whole lot of discussion around the NFL. We've seen a couple of those headlines, but most of it have been free agent-wise or draft-wise. What is the buzz that you're hearing? Do they feel confident that, hey, we will have football as planned at this point?
I think they're going to learn a ton from what happens with the NBA and MLB. And I expect us to play. And I think, you know, we're going to learn a ton and see what happens. But, you know, obviously a lot could happen. And I could also see the season getting, you know, moved back possibly.
When you're talking about moving it back, we're talking, would you think, just a month or so and kicking, and that's the way the NFL schedule has kind of changed? Remember that they were changing some of their schedule quirks in like week two, week three to push those back. Would you see something happen maybe like a month of a pause to give them more time on this?
Yeah, possibly. You know, again, Tampa Bay can host the Super Bowl in late February, early March, and if they move things back, they can still play a 14-game season, and they certainly could maybe, you know, skip the Pro Bowl and get a meaningful year in and obviously still play the Super Bowl, which is the most important thing. So I think the fact that Tampa Bay has some flexibility there allows the NFL to operate from a position of strength.
Mike Tannenbaum joining us, our NFL front office insider, joining Peter Burns here on First Take, your take. Last question for you, Mike, and I want to go back to the Patriots. We saw the news drop that they signed Cam Newton, and about 15 minutes later, the NFL drops the news of the latest fine for the latest allegations against the Patriots, in which, what, they got fined $1.1 million, a loss of a 2021 third-round draft pick, and now no television crews on the sideline for 2020. Has this reached a point around the league where people just aren't surprised at this anymore, or they feel like, okay, four strike is really going to be an issue against the Patriots if caught cheating again?
Yeah, I think this is a little bit different. I think we got to be careful. This had nothing to do with their football operations, and you know, this is the side that was, you know, videoing, you know, for their website and other in-house productions. And my understanding was that, you know, nobody from football operations, including Coach Belichick, was ever mentioned in the report. So the league takes these rules seriously. Obviously, $1 million fine and a third-round pick is significant sanctions. But I think we have to look at this one a little bit separate than maybe the ones that have happened in the past.
There he is. He's our NFL front office insider, Mike Tannenbaum, joining us here on First Take, Your Take. Mike, we appreciate the time, man. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks for having me. Thank you.
There it is, Mike Tannenbaum talking about it. It is interesting, I guess, to a certain extent. Yes, you do have to look at the Patriots, go, all right, so this time that they got caught cheating, it really wasn't the team that was caught cheating. It was somebody else. It was somebody else doing breaking laws and breaking rules that you shouldn't have done. So the other two times, Deflategate and Spygate, those were legitimately on the Patriots, but this one, not so much. But again, at some point, if I'm the Patriots, why even worry about it? I mean, seriously, Why did it not work for them in the last decade? It seems to do it. And again, I think that's why a lot of people across the NFL are looking, and they're almost upset at this point that they look at Chicago and the Bears and their quarterback situation. They look at Jacksonville right now. Hell, they look at the Chargers and they go, why in the world did you let Cam Newton go to the Patriots? Because you could not have had a better deal for Bill Belichick, for Josh McDaniels, and yes, at the end of the day, for Cam Newton as well. 888-SAY-ESPN is the phone number. You can hit me up on Twitter, at Peter Burns, ESPN as well. All right, we talked about this a little bit. Could college football actually punt on the season? Not even have college football in the fall, but rather the spring? Dan Wolken of USA Today is going to join us next to talk about it. Welcome back. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I am Peter Burns. You can follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. I almost threw out the entire show rundown today. We've been talking about Cam Newton. We're talking about with Dan Wolken of USA Today, college football returning and basketball as well, too. But I asked this question, which now I believe I'm up to 2,000 replies on Twitter. This is nuts. And it's an incredible thread if you get a chance to do it. Go check out my Twitter account, at Peter Burns ESPN. I asked one of the what's the craziest random sports fact that you've seen that just blows your mind? For instance, Major League Baseball, this one, there's been more people who have walked on the moon, 12 of them, than have scored against Mariano Rivera in the postseason. Rivera only gave up 11 runs ever in his postseason career. More people have walked on the moon. I thought that one was absolutely fantastic. This one blew my mind as well, too. Peyton Manning's longest run in the NFL, 33 yards. Trent Richardson's longest run in the NFL, remember, he was a top five pick way back in the day, 32 yards. Peyton Manning has a longer run in the NFL than Trent Richardson does. So hit us up on Twitter, at Peter Burns ESPN. We'll get some of those. Joining me right now, First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, is our good buddy Dan Wolken of USA Today. Dan, you and I have discussed this privately via chat. We've done it on Twitter, and I wanted to bring it to this national audience about where we're at with this pandemic and just the hurdles that college football is facing. Left coast, right coast, north, south, everywhere. Division 1, 2, 3, all of the different circumstances with college football. Right here, right now, where do you feel the momentum shifting about starting this season on time?
Well, I think everyone has just looked up. It's July 1st. And the idea back in the spring was, okay, players will come back mid-July. They need a couple weeks to get their conditioning straight. Then we'll do our normal fall camp in August, and then we'll be ready to go by September. And people now look at the calendar and say, geez, it's coming really, really fast. And beyond that, you've got situations at LSU and Clemson with a bunch of players who are self-isolating. We've seen workouts shut down at Kansas State, positive tests at all kinds of programs, some of which are public, some of which are not. And I think there's just a reality setting in that this is going to be really hard to manage. It's a logistics issue. It's when you start the season and you have positive tests, you have potential outbreaks, how do you contain them? How do you prevent not having to shut down huge parts of your team as you're trying to go through a season? And these are just not issues that people are used to dealing with, and it's going to be really hard. And there's just a lot of stuff that still kind of needs to be worked out, and you're running out of time. So I think people are realizing that and maybe looking at, all right, do we need to shorten the season? Do we need to move it? How are we going to be able to get this done?
Dan Wolken of USA Today joining Peter Burns here on First Take, Your Take here via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And the reason why I always have you on, Dan, is you do give that straight talk. And is the straight talk of people that you've dealt with in college football, are they having these discussions about punting in the fall and potentially giving them more time, 6-7 months, to just kind of regroup, get more information, and play a spring college football season?
Well, this was one of the original things that people talked about back in March and April, and then it kind of got pushed to the sideline because the states, especially in the Southeast, started to open up in May, and it looked like things were trending in a good direction from a standpoint of the virus. And that's when everyone kind of got on board with, all right, we're going to be able to start on time. Well, now that the cases are spiking, it's making people really nervous. We're seeing how the virus interacts in college football programs even before they're into contact drills and actual practice. They're just in there lifting weights, basically, and it's hard to control what happens when these guys are outside the building for 19 hours of the day, 20 hours of the day. And so now we're sort of getting real data in these programs, and people are taking a second look and saying, you know, maybe we need more time here. And does spring make sense? Because it does buy you time. It gives you more tools for testing, potentially for vaccine developments, you know, all the kinds of things. Maybe we get over the hump a little bit on the virus nationally. So that those are the kind of things people are looking at. I don't think anyone's ready to make that decision today, but it's definitely something that has crept back into the conversation.
Dan, welcome to USA Today, joining Peter Burns here on First Take. You're taking it. I do find it interesting because while you would get more time, a potential kind of a Hail Mary vaccine situation could change it, and maybe more fans would be allowed once you know a little bit more down the road than currently how we're trending right now. But how many of the Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrences of the world do you think would play if they elect to punt this thing and play in spring?
Well, there's no doubt that a lot of the stars of college football would potentially opt out of that arrangement, especially if they are looking at the NFL draft and think that they could be a high draft pick if they didn't play. Look, there's no guarantee that any of this is going to be ideal. There's no good decisions to be made right now. The whole issue for college sports is avoiding a bad decision. A decision like, okay, you start the season and then you have to shut it down after 3 weeks. You know, that would be disastrous for college football. So you're just having to weigh all of the bad news against each other and try to figure out which is the least damaging, the least disruptive, and which gives you the best chance to have a season. And if the cost of that is you play it later and some of your stars opt out, I think that's something people could live with more than you start the season and you got to shut it down after 3 weeks.
Dan, how much would people, whether it be social media or congressmen or parents or whatnot, frame this decision to be back on campus, to play football in the fall, even while the numbers are running, if college kids already had their name, image, and likeness, if they were able to be part of the monetary system a little bit more, would it be framed a little bit different versus opposed to, hey, we need y'all to come play. Oh, by the way, we're not allowing you to make any kind of money off of your endorsement money as well.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I could certainly see that perspective. I think it's even bigger than that, though, Peter, because what I have said from the beginning is this would have been a great opportunity for college athletes to be able to form a union and to negotiate the rules of how and when and the precautions and all the things that are happening right now, you know, between the NBA and the NBA Players Association, with the NFL, with Major League Baseball. Ultimately, whatever the outcome is of those experiments, everyone will be able to live with it because these were things that were agreed on. And the players said, we will do it under these circumstances and we're going to get compensated for it. In this situation, all you've had is decision makers in Indianapolis and in the conference offices across the country saying, all right, we're going to do this, show up here. And if you don't want to play, you don't have to play, but this is how we're doing it. You don't really have a say in the way this gets done. And I think that is problematic because if it goes badly, and that includes, you know, potentially players having terrible outcomes from COVID. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Or just the season gets wrecked in some way. I don't think that it will be a satisfactory outcome for the players and their families because they really didn't have a voice in any of it.
How much does this change? And listen, it is already a sport of one percenters, right? When you look at each and every year, Dan, you and I will take a look and we go, all right, how many teams can actually win a title, especially on a four-team playoff? And we might pick eight or 10, maybe. How is this going to affect, with the testing and coronavirus, the Louisiana Techs of the world, the Utah States of the world, the UT San Antonios of the world that don't have the money of a Georgia or Ohio State? How do they even field teams and do the right testing to get prepared for a season like this?
Yeah, look, I think these schools can do testing. It will be expensive, no doubt. And I think as of right now, if you wanted to test frequently, you know, you're probably going to have to budget $500,000. You know, every school in FBS could do that if they had to. You know, but I do think that the issues are going to be there, not just in football, but all these sports about who's testing and how often, and are you informing your opponents about positive tests? And it's all sort of balkanized because it's conference by conference, and there's no really consistent policy across the country. I think this would work much better if the NCAA said, all right, these are the standards that we are going to establish to do this safely. If you can't meet these standards, then just don't play this year. And I think that would be fine. But that's not the way it's going on. That's not the way it's coming down. And that's very typical of college sports. And I do think that a lot of these schools, if they can't afford to test, they're not only putting themselves at risk, they're putting the teams they play at risk.
It's fascinating, too. I mean, when you look at that the NCAA wants to be involved on certain things, but when it comes to having any kind of liability, they're like, hands off. Like, you know, they're in front of Congress right now saying, hey, listen, can you guys help us? Because we need this antitrust exemption. We want to be not held liable for anything on name, image, and likeness. And they don't want to get involved in testing regimens as well because of fear of liability. Yet they also like the profits that come with college sports as well. Dan Wolken, always great stuff, man. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Dan Wolken of USA Today. I appreciate the time, bud.
All right. Thanks, Peter.
There it is. Dan Wolken joining us. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. We'll take your phone calls on that as well. 888-729-3776. That's 888-SAY-ESPN. Or you can hit me up on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. And remember, I've been asking that question on Twitter. What's the most random sports stat that blows your mind? This is a good one from college football I saw earlier. Since 2004, Appalachian State has the same amount of wins against Michigan as Michigan has against Ohio State since 2004. Crazy. Peter Burns in First Take, Your Take. Coming up, the greatest contract in sports history. We celebrate Bobby Bonilla Day next. First Take, Your Take. Peter Burns sitting in for the great, talented Jason Fitz. Remember? All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you an unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Hit me up on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day, by the way, everybody, because remember, today is the day that Bobby Bonilla checks his direct deposit, make sure the bank is still working, and he receives that $1.19 million today. Now, remember, he has not played in Major League Baseball since 2001. It's crazy, right? But ultimately, you know, a lot of people have made fun of the Mets, and the Mets can be made fun of for a bevy of different reasons. I get it. However, the deal that Bobby Bonilla signed back in the day when they got him, and the buyout that included, instead of giving him the buyout now, just saying, hey, we're going to pay you all the way till 2035, actually worked out well for everyone, right? Bonilla ends up getting more money, and he gets it over time. And now at some point as well, too, is keep in mind, too, for the Mets, they were able to go back and they were able to get Mike Hampton, which was part of that run, out of that. And then when Hampton signed with the Colorado Rockies the year after, okay, they were able to get a compensation pick. And you know who the Mets drafted with that compensation pick? The 38th pick overall. A kid named David Wright. And that kid ended up being pretty decent. So Bobby Bonilla, yes, congratulations, you got your money. That worked. $1.2 million for 25 years. That was a heck of a deal. I had put out on Twitter, and this thread is amazing. At Peter Burns ESPN, what are the strangest sports stats? Because I started looking about how strange that deal is with Bobby Bonilla, right? And Major League Baseball has some great ones, right? How about this one? The great Stan Musial, one of the greatest hitters of all time. He had the exact same number of hits at home as he did on the road. He had 1,815 hits in his Major League Baseball career at home for the Cardinals. And he also had 1,815 hits on the road. That is crazy. How about Nolan Ryan? Of course, he threw the 7 no-nos. He also threw 12 one-hitters and 18 two-hitters. That was crazy. Let's get you in on this conversation here on First Take, Your Take. John is in Memphis. What kind of crazy stat you got for me today, my man?
Larry Fitzgerald's got more career tackles at 39 than he does drops at 29.
Wait a minute. Larry Fitzgerald, one of the greatest wide receivers. Run this by me one more time. Now, again, that was Larry Fitzgerald has more tackles. He's tackled more people than drops in his career.
Right.
That I'm circling that one, my man. That is a good one. Another one, and thank you, John, for the phone call. Another one that was brought up today, and you can continue to hit me up on these at Peter Burns ESPN, because the thread, again, you'll spend 45 minutes going through these things, and they're incredible. Obviously, we know Jerry Rice had a ton of success in his career. Played, age 40, 41? Do you know who has the second all-time in receiving yards at the age of 40? Jerry Rice is number one, right? There's no doubt about it. Tom Brady. Yes, Tom Brady. Tom Brady has the second amount of receiving yards in NFL history of guys past the age of 40. Of course, he caught a couple of them as well. How about this one that was on my Twitter account, at Peter Burns ESPN? Brett Favre's last pass in every team that he played on was an interception. No wonder why he kept trying to retire and come back. He's like, man, I got to go out on a good note. He never ended up doing it. Other ones that were incredible as well, too. And this one blew my mind. The 1971 Orioles in Major League Baseball, they didn't have one 20-game winner. They didn't have two 20-game winners. They didn't have three. They had four 20-game winners. The 1971 Orioles. Some of these baseball ones are incredible because baseball, obviously, the 162 games, and you go through and just it's a sport built on numbers. This one blew my mind as well. Babe Ruth stole home base 10 times in his career. Babe Ruth, 10 times, swiped home. Crazy. Maybe the other one that was awesome that I've seen a lot of you guys hit me up on Twitter, at Peter Burns ESPN. A's outfielder Chris Davis, 1 year he hit 247. Next year, 247. Third year, 247. Fourth year, 247. 4 years in a row. Think about how many at-bats you have. The mathematical statistics and the probability for it to hit 247 is incredible. The only thing more incredible is this one right here. Tony Snell, 2017 against the Jazz. He played 28 minutes, did Tony Snell, for the Bucks. 28 minutes, 0 points, 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 blocks, 0 steals. 28 minutes of nothing. Congratulations, Tony Snell. That is amazing. Hit me up on Twitter, at Peter Burns ESPN. Coming up, how confident the NBA will finish the season? We'll talk about it next.